Latin and modern praise and worship music, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. If you are new to the program, I just thought I'd let you know that there are several times throughout the day that you can catch this WMIE. 8:30 of a morning is the first broadcast. It is rebroadcast at 5 of an evening, so 5 p.m. And then at 10:30 of a morning, it is broadcast on WWBC 1510 a.m. But there are also other transmitters throughout Brevard County. There's one in the south, one in the central, one in the northern part of the county, where you may be able to pick up that signal stronger on an FM dial than you can on the AM station. So if none of those situations work out for you, you can always log on to WMIEFM.com and click on the Listen on Demand feature. And I'm not sure exactly how quickly the program goes up, whether it's middle of the day or end of the day, but you can always catch a program that you've missed by listening on the on-demand feature. If you're like I am from time to time and you're listening to a radio station and, you know, those transmitters only go so far, there's also an app called the TuneIn app. And you can listen to WMIE live wherever internet connections are available. So lots of different listening options available to you. And if you want to hear me in person, you could always visit Merritt Assembly of God, where we have seats available and would love to have you come and worship the Lord with us. I want to start off today by saying thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete. 321-536-5804 is the number where you could reach Greg. The Anderson family has decades and decades of experience. They've done work for me. They've done work for us at the church. They've done work for contractors that we have used at the church. They have done work for people in the church. They, the way that I summarize their ability to work with concrete is they have all of the connections, they have the experience, they have the expertise, and they have a great work ethic. And those combinations, when they all converge at the same place, you get an excellent product, you get an excellent foundation for whatever project you have going forward. And you're going to get some of the best in the business doing your project. 321-536-5804. There's some people that I know near the church, and they had I told them about Jits Concrete. They've had them do numerous projects, both professionally and personally. And I'm telling you, when it comes to concrete, these folks really know what they're doing. 321-536-5804. We're going to go back to Mark chapter 12 today. We're in the second conversation that Jesus is having with people from verses 18 through 37. And what Jesus is teaching people here in this passage is he's teaching them how to think, not just what to think or what to recall. So Originally, the Ten Commandments were written on tablets of stone, but the Old Testament said that there was going to come a time when God was going to write those commandments on people's hearts, where there it wasn't going to have to just be a mental process where they were going to comply with the commandment of God, but that they were going to have a heart that was so desirous of God that they wanted to do the things that God wants them to do all of the time. So I pray that that is one of the places that we get to. So the question that is here before Jesus is in verse number 28, where one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he, Jesus, had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is here, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So the scribe said to him, well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth. For there is one God, and there is no other but he, and to love him with all the heart, understanding, with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. But after that, no one dared question him. So we are back to this issue of commandments, and the question is, which is the first commandment of all? Which is the greatest? And Jesus' answer is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. So, as you look at this passage, the stage that Jesus sets in describing the first commandment is this: hear, O Israel. So, before we get to loving the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, it involves listening. It involves hearing what God has to say because he's God. If you've been a parent through many different seasons, you find that there's a point in time where your kids, you know, they value your input, and it's elevated. It is way up there. Sooner or later, there tends to come a stage in their development where they don't necessarily want to hear what their parents have to say as much as they do maybe a teacher. There's a story my parents told, and it had to do when I was growing up and I was getting ready to go to kindergarten, and they said, look, before you go, you need to learn your ABCs. You need to learn to count. You need to know how to write your name. You need to know your address. You need to know your phone number. There was a lot of different things. And I said to them, look, when I go to school, they are going to teach me all of those things. And so I go to school the first day. The teacher sends a note home and says, He needs to learn how to write his name. He needs to learn his ABCs. He needs to learn to count up to whatever. He needs to learn his address, and he needs to learn his phone number. And because my teacher had told me that, I went home that night. I learned everything that I was supposed to learn, and it was simply because a teacher had told me to do it and not my parents. And it wasn't that I was really dishonoring them. It was just that I had set myself up that, hey, when I go to school, my teacher's going to teach me what is really important. There is a huge culture war that goes on in America right now where, you know, the point of this radio series that I'm doing is that there are people who teach you what to think instead of how to think. And because they don't know how to think, then they don't know how to react to people who think differently than they do. That's because of that many people are being taught propaganda, and I'll address what the questioner here in this context shares a little bit later. If you know, light never has to apologize for what it is. Truth is never threatened by deception. The only thing that is ever threatened by questioning or by exposure is deception. And so there was a time when Gideon was being raised up, and at that particular point in time, Israel had become distracted from following the Lord their God, and they had started following Baal. Well, Gideon is trying to process a little bit of grain. He's doing it in a wine press. He's doing it someplace where he was hiding, hoping the enemy wouldn't find him, and God shows up. And he calls Gideon a mighty man of valor. And at that particular point in time, Gideon was anything but courageous and anything but bold. He was just doing what he could do to try and survive. I will tell you this. God addresses you according to what he wants to develop in you. He may address you in your present reality, but he's always looking to make you, to transform you, to transform me into what God knows the potential is. So Gideon rises up, and before he ever deals with the Midianites, and, you know, when I go into battle, I'd like to go in with his, I want to go in. I'm just overwhelmer. I only have a couple of games on my computer. One of them is chess. The other is Risk. And when I play Risk, it's a world conquest game. And when I play it on the computer, most of the time I'm going for the overwhelm strategy. I want it to be a victory that is beyond question. Well, God told Gideon he had too many men. He ends up whittling it down from 30,000 to 10,000, down to 300, I believe. And God delivers them because God's strategy is never going to be wrong. But before Gideon dealt with the Midianites, he had to deal with the idolatry that was in his own village. And so he destroyed the throne of Baal. And the people of the village are now really upset. And they said, hey, we need to deal with Gideon. He's destroyed our idol. He's destroyed our altar. And Gideon's father said, hey, if Baal is really God, he can defend himself. And because of that, they realized that Baal was incapable of doing whatever needed to be done. Now, on Mount Carmel, when Elijah is confronting the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah, some people think that there were only 450. There were actually 850 prophets. And Elijah said, okay, the God who answers by fire and consumes this sacrifice, we'll acknowledge that he is God. And he said, in fact, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you go first. And so they prepared the altar. They prepared the sacrifice. They went through all sorts of self-harming mechanisms. They shouted, they sacrificed, they did everything that they could. And Elijah says, maybe he's busy. I won't tell you what one of my professors in Bible college said, but it's pretty humorous. Elijah was literally demeaning this idol that Ahab and Jezebel had set up as the preeminent object of worship in the land of Israel. And Elijah said, okay, it's my turn. And he steps up and he prepares the altar and he lays the sacrifice on the altar and says, I tell you what, the most precious commodity after 3.5 years of famine is water. Let's put some water on the sacrifice as well, because it is so precious. And then he prays, God, answer by fire. And fire falls, the sacrifice is consumed, and God is clearly seen as greater than Baal. And the children of Israel cried out, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. You and I need to listen and elevate the voice of God to being the voice that is above every voice, that he speaks. He does not speak lies. And he teaches us, not propaganda, he teaches us truth. Teach us the latest social experiment. He doesn't devalue the human existence. He doesn't foster chaos. He fosters clarity. He speaks clarity. He speaks truth. There's not any shadow of turning. And yet in our society, instead of listening to God, we want to try and silence him, and we want to amplify the other voices in society to have greater influence than the voice of God, and that's never going to work well. So, Jesus says, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. Israel was the covenant people of God. They were the chosen people of God. And as such, God would address them as my people. He said, this is what I want to do for you. This is how my people live. This is how they walk. They obey me, not because they have to. They obey me because they want to. So we hear, and then there is the recognition of the exclusive status of God. The Lord our God. Okay. So you need to be aware that when people in 2024 say the word God, that not everyone is talking about the same God. So I read a news article recently about a person of some fame and some recognition, and they were describing how God had blessed them. And I was like, hey, this is awesome. Until I read further into the article, and I realized from the language that they were using that they weren't talking about the God of the Bible. They were talking about a little g God, not a capital G God. And so not only is he God the Creator, but he is God the Lord, the sovereign one. He has sovereignty over every realm. So Jesus is known as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When he speaks, he's not speaking theoretically. He's speaking authoritatively. He's not speaking about something he has no jurisdiction over. He speaks as the Lord over that jurisdiction. So a lot of times people will ask me questions, and many times I will answer the question like this: I do not know that person. I do not know all of the details, and I have no jurisdiction there. So all I would have to offer you is an opinion. I do not have a complete set of facts to be able to address that situation and circumstance. There's a huge percentage of our society now that they make decisions not based upon full disclosure, but upon biased disclosure. It's one of the reasons I quit watching the news. I quit watching the news because people's bias was coming across in such a way. And you would think that they were telling you the truth when actually they were telling you their opinion. And I said, not interested. Not interested. So I have keys to the church. I have keys to my house. I have keys to my cars. But those are areas that I have jurisdiction over. I have responsibilities to. The key to my house hopefully doesn't work as the key to your house. And if I opened the door and went in there, I am unauthorized to be there. I don't have a right to be there and unless you've told me to go in. And so we need to remember when it comes to us, the limitations on our jurisdiction, but when it comes to God, we need to expand our understanding to realize that he is God in all things but spiritual. He is the chief authority, the chief expert on all things biological. He's the expert on all things relational. He's the expert in financial areas. He's the expert in every area, science, spirituality, everything. Let's take God out of the box and say, God, you are not only the creator, but you're the sustainer, the redeemer, and the one who's preparing a place. And it says here, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. If you go all the way back to Genesis, in the beginning of creation, God says, let us make man in our own image. And there's a lot of people that try and confuse the fact that God has revealed himself to humanity as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they say, well, you worship three different gods. No, we worship one God who has revealed himself in three distinct manners and says it's better for you. You know, the Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. Jesus points people to the Father. And the Father is the one that we long to have relationship with for all of eternity. And so there is a tremendous unity. So he is a triune being. He's 100% God. It's not just that there's a pantheon of gods. There are some religions that believe that there are millions and millions of deities. And in that case, they have no problem adding Jesus to their arena filled with deities in which they worship, unless you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. All of a sudden, when you say there's not an arena full of gods, there's only one, and his name is Jesus, all of a sudden, people want to stop listening. They want to start plugging their ears because all of a sudden, you've now introduced something to them that the demons behind all of those lowercase g gods, deities, all of a sudden now they are threatened because you've now presented the truth. I'll be honest with you. The devil doesn't care which god you worship as long as you don't worship the one true God. So my point to you today is this. When we're looking at the commandments, you need to listen to God because he knows what he's talking about. And when we listen to him, we're going to listen as God's covenant people, those that he has redeemed, and he has called us his people, and he says, I'm God. I'm God when you feel well, and I'm God when you don't feel well. I'm God when things are going great. I'm God when things are not going great. I am the Lord. I am sovereign, and I am one. There's not many ways to God. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. I pray that you have a wonderful, wonderful day. We will be back here tomorrow, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, 10:30 over on 1510 a.m. Till then, you have a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.